welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. Well, now, team, listen carefully while Mr. Kevin Goldstein Jackson puts a question to you. This is it.
What activity by other guests at parties most annoys the members of the team?
What activity by other guests at parties most annoys members of the team? Cyril Fletcher.
Well, one thing that annoys me when I go with this lot is that Jim will always order a scotch and whiskey.
I wasn't there that week. Now, what annoys me is when I go in and the hostess says, "Oh, hello, Arthur, darling." They always do this, you know. "Can I take your coat?" And they take your coat and they don't tell you where they've taken it. And you get bored stiff. I get bored stiff at parties. And about half an hour, I want to go. And I can't ask her where my coat is because she'll say, "You're not going already, are you?" So you start searching, you know. And it's usually upstairs in the bedroom. I went up in the stairs up in the bedroom once. I opened the door. There was a fellow and girl in there. I don't know what he was looking for. It wasn't his coat.
Ted Ray.
Well, I think table manners, really. You know, table manners. I am an impeccable eater. You know, I
mean, you mean you eat with your beak? Sure. Sure.
I even take my tie off when I eat. You know, in case it gets soup on.
Jimmy, would you like to answer the question?
Well, not particularly.
No.
Well, the fact of the matter is that when I go to parties, other guests don't do anything. They're so fascinated by me.
Picking you up.
That's very true. Yes. Yes, it's very true. Sometimes this does happen at a party when we all go together. One has to pick Jim up and one takes him to the door. And as one takes him to the door, he cries these maudlin tears all down my neck and it brings my rheumatism on. I don't like it.
Those maudlin tears are 98% proof, you know.
I don't like the man who suggests, you know, a game when you go to a party. He says, "Let's play puss in the corner." He hit me in the puss and I finished in the corner. That's not funny, but it fills in the time.
That's right.
Filled in the corner.
And then you sometimes get a hostess whose whole idea of having a party is she wants to sing to you. Oh, yeah. I was at one last week and she sang a selection from Il Trovatore. And Il Trovatore never sounded so ill.
Mr. Goldstein Jackson, how do you cope at parties yourself when this sort of thing happens?
Well, there's mainly just three things that annoy me at parties. There's women telling me that there's only two things wrong with the way I dance, my left foot and my right foot. Hosts who always keep a cool head, usually on the top shelf of the larder, and dead silence by other guests after I tell jokes.
I can't hear and what this fellow's saying.
You've been rehearsing for this, haven't you?
Yes, and also people who think that Goldstein Jackson is two people, and just because it's a hyphenated name, and I'm sorry I had the operation now.
But it would seem to...
You said...
It would seem to me it would be rather a good idea to have a hyphenated name. You'd get two helpings.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. Goldstein Jackson. Thank you, Mr. Jackson, very much. Team, pay attention, because here comes a question put to you now by Mrs. Pam Wickens. Mrs. Wickens, welcome to the programme. Try your question on them.
When did members of the team notice the first sign of old age, and what was it?
look at the excitement.
Wait for it. When did members of the team notice the first sign of old age, and what was it?
Did you get the excitement of that audience? Look at
it. No, no,
average age 92.
You leave me out of this.
I said the audience.
Oh, I see. But whenever they talk about the team, they always say that I'm the oldest. And when I look at the other three, I think, blimey, I must be getting old if I'm older than this lot.
Arthur, you will never be old, Arthur. You will never know.
But when you'll go too old to dream, I'll have you to remember.
Wasn't worth it, Arthur.
To answer.
The thing was, Vic Oliver had the thing. My dear friend Vic Oliver said, he said that I still run after women, but I've forgotten why I'm chasing them.
Dear old man.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm in terribly good shape. Every single one of my arteries is as hard as a rock.
Big-hearted arteries.
Jimmy.
Let me... I think the first sign is your memory goes a bit, doesn't it, eh? It's like the old lady looking at the newborn baby and she says to her daughter, what is it, a boy or a girl? And the daughter says, oh, mother, your eyesight's getting awful. She said, it's not my eyesight, it's my memory.
Jimmy Edwards, what... What suggested to you that you might possibly, I said, be getting old?
The first time I didn't want to get up in the morning.
It's a long time since you did.
You have to... And don't forget he has to climb over the pony.
I noticed one morning that something had withered. No, it was the flower in the pot on the mantelpiece.
I was in the park the other day. We live in a lovely part of North London.
You live in the park, don't you?
Well, the way things are going, we will, yes. Yeah,
the way things are going, you soon will be.
Now, let me finish the joke.
You haven't started yet.
You didn't let me.
Go on, then.
And these two old men were sitting on the seat, and one man said to the other, he said, you know, Fred, sex isn't what it used to be. He said, oh, yes, it is. It's just that other people are involved these days. I'm getting murmurs.
You are, that's right.
I first realised that I was getting old when I tucked my clothes into bed and hung myself over the back of the chair.
I mean, most of us have got... I have got the obvious signs of advancing years. I don't like Mrs. Wickens, the word old age. I show the signs of advancing years. For example, my moustache is going a little grey.
A little grey? You look like 4 years' calendars.
Won't you believe that I used to have so much hair on my head that when I was an undergraduate, I used to have to throw it out of my eyes before I threw the ball in at Rugger, you know. Most of us shouldn't laugh at the signs of advancing years because all of us will eventually have to face them. Mr. McDonald, hopefully, for example, with those silver hairs amongst the grey.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think you're getting old when people tell you how you look because there's youth, there's young age, there's middle age. And then they start saying, my word, you're marvellous. You do look healthy. I'm getting that all the time now.
Have any of you had any trouble crossing the streets? I mean, do you have to look three times instead of... You know, children...
Oh, yes, they often... Boy Scouts take me over and I don't want to go, you know.
I take a taxi to cross the road.
Do you know what I do? I raise my arms above my head and walk in front of the traffic and they say, we would never run dear old Jim over. I'm like Moses crossing the blooming river. Was it Moses?
The Red Sea, it was, actually.
The Red Sea, was it?
He parted it.
Whatever he crossed, I hold the traffic back because nobody wants to be held up in front of the community and say, you killed Jim Edwards.
Do you want to bet?
I'm so famous, ladies and gentlemen, that I can...
He is well known, this fella.
I think you're...
He's a big head, but he's well known.
You must realise that you're too old when you can't take yes for an answer.
That's a very good answer.
I think you're a bit old when girls start confiding in you.
Mrs. Wickens, this doesn't apply to you, obviously, but looking at the team and the various people... Oh, I'm just being complimentary.
Yes, no, polite.
How do you think old age would sort of first be noticed by these gentlemen, perhaps?
Well, it's marvellous to me. They've been going for 300 years. Years? Programmes.
300 programmes, not 300 years, my dear.
You want to watch it?
It just seems like 300 years.
They've been going for a long time. It's only the jokes that have been going for 300
yes,
years.
Yes, quite so, yes.
Mrs. Wickens, carry on. You were doing very well.
Mrs. Wickens.
One of the first signs of middle age is crow's feet, which are very kindly called laughter lines. But one thing that's always struck me, the face shows... laughter lines, but the body doesn't, or perhaps your body's had laughter lines. Yes.
Alaska, put your clothes back on again.
No, Mrs. Wickens, that my navel is a positive scream.
It's always full of fluff.
That's why it's always laughing. It's tickling itself to death. I must have a spring clean.
I could put that in one of Cyril's famous odd odes, you know, really, if he'd allow me to say that you really are finished and should go to sleep When your mind makes appointments, your body can't keep.
Jimmy, how would you describe yourself physically?
In perfect condition, considering how matured I am. I noticed, actually, that in the sort of things that I do, an enfeebled embouchure is the first...
What's an embouchure mean?
If you get an enfeebled embouchure...
Arthur asks, he's got an enfeebled embonpong.
An embouchure is something you get when playing a trumpet.
Yeah, well, if you can't... When you get it to your lips, if you can't get anything out of it, then you've got an enfeebled embouchure. And it is the first sign of advancing years in our...
I saw the dancing years. It's very good.
Mercifully, at the moment, I can still get a top F.
Can you really?
Thank you very much, team, and thank you very much, Mrs. Team, Mr. Charles R. Jefferson may have travelled a long way to put this question, but here he is anyway. Mr. Charles R. Jefferson, what's your question?
What things annoy members of the team in shops and supermarkets, and can they suggest any improvements?
What things annoy members of the team in shops and supermarkets, and can they suggest any improvements?
And can you imagine any member of the team going to a shop or a supermarket?
Well, I do every week.
Do you?
Of course I do. I do all the shopping in my house.
Do you really?
Well, I'm not
That's
gonna...
why they're starving.
Simple thing.
I'm not letting my wife loose with my housekeeping money. She shops like the Russians are in Knightsbridge.
I think the worst thing about supermarkets are the store's detectives. I saw one go up to a woman and he said, "What have you got under your skirt?" She said, "Ah, knickers." As a matter of fact, she had. They took her in and she had her sitting in two easy chairs in a broom.
What about a chest of drawers?
Of course, shops I like, but supermarkets I abhor. I'm not a vague shopper. I know exactly what I want.
I know. And the counter where you can get it, and a corkscrew.
I know, when I'm sent out with my little list, I know exactly...
His little list? Yeah. One case of scotch, period.
That's what makes him list.
No.
It's known as a list of port.
No, actually, it's two cases of scotch and a couple of lavatory rolls is what I usually go for.
But, you're a football fan.
Supermarkets are, I find, confusing because you can't find what you want, you see.
Well, keep looking, Jim.
I haven't got all day looking for a bar of soap.
Well, the trouble is, when he goes into a supermarket, everything's on those bottom shelves, and, of course, he never sees those.
Well, you can do, because I went to get a tin of beans the
other
day.
Well, you can, because you are a bottom shelf.
Well, I'm near the bottom
shelf. Jim, what do you think of the music they play in supermarkets to soothe?
I thought it was just my head spinning. I didn't know. I didn't realise they played music. No, I mean, what I'm saying is that so much on offer. I mean, if you just want to go, for example, and get some cascara or something like that.
And what a moving thought, that is.
All right, think of something you can't make a joke about. Suppose I just simply want some salt.
Some salt.
I like to go to the old-fashioned shop where you say, there's a fellow standing there with a pencil behind his ear and an apron and says, "What can I do for you, sir? We serve royalty here, you know." And you just say salt and bang, the salt is in your hand and you sign a chitty and off you go.
Yeah, but you see, look at the risks they take in shops. I mean, what about the boy on the bacon counter?
Oh.
Doing the serving, you
That's
know.
That's a terrible thing.
I know. He sat on the slicer and got a little behind with his orders.
That's right.
Walking about with those trolleys makes you feel like a mother pushing That's a pram. Right.
Well, they do. They use them as prams. I've been picked up and put in pram many times.
I'll tell you one thing, Jim.
And if you'd look at your figure, Jim, you look like a mother pushing a pram.
I'll tell you one thing, Jim. If you look like a mother pushing a pram, you'll have to shave that moustache up before they believe it.
Cyril Fletcher, what about supermarkets?
I overheard a woman in a supermarket say, "Oh, I don't know what to give them for dinner tonight. I'm going to bang the shelf and see what falls off."
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. Thank you very much. Team, and now here's a question from Mr. Brian Taylor. Mr. Taylor, welcome to the programme. Can we have your question, please?
A few years ago, a newspaper ran a competition to find the best way of ending the Dales. How would the team wrap up the Arches or Coronation Street?
A few years ago, a newspaper ran a competition to find the best way of ending the Dales. How would the team wrap up the Archers or Coronation Street?
Well, heaven forbid that anybody would want to, because they're so popular and still, to one's amazement, the top of the ratings. But I suppose in Coronation Street they could run a suicide competition or something like that. And that would, in 1 week, I suppose, eradicate the whole lot.
They ought to transfer Coronation Street to BBC Two and the Archers to Radio One, and they'd never be heard of again.
I think they should do, really, is to put all the inhabitants of Coronation Street to live in the country, all the inhabitants of the Archers to live in Coronation Street, and they're all so much loaded they'd all die.
I don't believe this, you see. I'm sorry to be so square, but sorry. I believe...
It's only your head that's square, actually.
But I bet a lot of the audience here like the Archers and Coronation Street.
Of course
they do. Those who do. They are 100%, well, two.
All right, team, just a moment. Let's hear from Mr. Taylor. He might have something to say about this. Mr. Taylor, have you thought of ending the Dales or the Archers, or have you any thoughts about it?
I think about the Archers, I'd have Doris Archer in a field picking blackberries, and I'd have a UFO coming down from the sky, and...
Have you realised what it means to the people involved in these programmes? Look, Ina Sharples is showing a net profit every week.
I have a feeling she might be showing more than a net profit if she came down in a parachute like he suggested.
I was interested in Mr. Taylor, if only he would articulate a bit. I must be getting hard of hearing.
There's a sign of age. Why didn't you wear your deaf ears?
Actually, Jim, it's your side whiskers. They've gone back a bit.
I think his ears are bunged up with moustache, you know.
That's it.
Goes right in.
I'd like to hear from him, because he was going to get on with how to wrap up the Archers, weren't
he? Right. Well, you have Doris Archer in a field, OK?
Having Doris Archer in a field?
Right.
I should want a tent over it.
That's because you want to become a marquee.
You keep going, Mr. Taylor.
A UFO coming down out of the sky.
A UFO?
Yeah. That's
a UFO.
A euphonium.
No. A UFO.
Oh, a UFO.
An identified...
That's a short euphonium.
It's a flying saucer with funny people in that come from another planet. They see Doris Archer in the field. They think, what an interesting specimen. We'll round up the other villagers. And they round them up and take them back into the spaceship, and they whisk them off to another planet. That is one way of getting rid of the Archers.
Well done, Mr. Taylor.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh. I'm sorry, you came.
And you got away easily. We sometimes carry on a long time, you know.
Supposing they start broadcasting from the other planet.
Well, then you do a swap with Does the Team Think, and you go up there.
Can't they mechanise the Archers,
yes,
pull down Coronation Street and build a block of flats, and everyone will be perfectly happy?
That's one of the things that will eventually happen to Coronation Street, that those captioned pictures at the beginning will become so old-fashioned.
With that dog with his
leg. I was speaking.
Jim, yes.
I thought he was going
He's
to kick
always
me.
There. He hasn't finished yet, that dog. And, you know, last week it was on, and it was so cold, the dog was frozen to a lamppost.
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Mr. Brian Taylor. Thank you very much, Brian. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, that splendid actress with a flair, special flair too, for comedy, star of radio's Many a Slip, making a return visit to Does the Team Think? It's a warm welcome back for Eleanor Summerfield. Oh, you are a brave lady. Now, what's your question, Eleanor?
Yes. Does the team think that animals can have a sense of humour?
Does the team think that animals can have a sense of humour?
Oh, most definitely. The mother kangaroo slaps her pouch and says, that'll teach you to eat crisps in bed.
You know, I once did a show with the Rolling Stones in the audience, and they laughed at my gags, which proves animals have a sense of humour.
I think probably, Arthur, it just proves that animals have a long memory. I don't know. Animals do have incredible memories for things and people, but they also have, I wouldn't say their sense of humour, Eleanor. They have a sort of quizzical sense of fun. I don't think animals can understand. I mean, nobody could understand this programme, particularly this one today. least of all an animal. But animals understand when you're happy and when you're not. I've got animals of my own. Some of them are moving about in my moustache at this minute.
I was thinking...
Well, you don't think your polo pony would have a sense of humour once you get on his back, Jim.
A taxi drew up outside a jeweller's shop and an elephant got out.
Really?
Kangaroo was driving. Yeah. And the elephant went across to the jeweller's shop window and put its great foot through the jeweller's shop window, and with its trunk it went... and sucked up all the jewellery. Went back to the taxi and squirted all the jewellery into that little pocket thing they have. The kangaroo being a marsupial. Actually, this was a parsupial, but I think they still have the pocket. Got into the taxi and drove away. There was a lady watching this. And when the constable came up, she said, I saw it all. And he said, tell me, madam, he said, would you recognise those animals if you saw them again? And she said, no, they had stockings over their faces.
I think, you know, Eleanor, I think animals must have a sense of humour because this has gone back in history, in time, and in nursery rhymes.
Hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one. It was 12:30. Clock had stopped. Eleanor...
Hey, diddle, diddle, the cat did a tittle all over the dining room floor. The little dog laughed to see such fun, so the little cat tittled some more.
Eleanor, do you think, I mean, have you ever owned a pet that you thought had a sense of humour?
Oh, yes, I have an Irish terrier, and she plays practical jokes on people.
Like what,
well,
for instance?
Her best one is she creeps up on someone who's sitting down, you see, and she puts her nose under his or her elbow and jerks it violently into the air. Now, she pretends that that's because she wants to be patted, you see, but actually, what she's hoping for is that someone has a cup of tea in there. And it works. It's worked over and over again. We have one friend, or he used to be a friend, who...
That's all she's got left.
who actually had a gin and tonic, a glass of wine, a cup of coffee down his trousers in one evening.
Well, I don't know that birds, you know, say birds, for instance, have a sense of humour, but I know they drink, which proves that one swallow doesn't make a summer for you.
Okay, you thought that up.
I had a bulldog once that had a definite sense of humour. In fact, I think all bulldogs have got a sense of humour.
You've got to have with a face like that.
Well, this one used to adore the seaside, and we had summer shows at the time, and it couldn't wait to get to the seaside. And when it did, we used to take it along the front, and it would dive off the promenade into the sea when we weren't looking. And it would get underneath people who were bathing. It would suddenly erupt. They would find this bulldog between their legs and this awful face looking up underneath them, rather like a hippopotamus.
My God.
Many a bather fainted.
I expect, Ted, you remember an act on the halls called Hector and His Pals.
I do.
They were a wonderful act. He had the biggest collection of mongrels. He was an American. I used to walk downstairs... And he'd be saying to his fellows, now, give us a good show tonight, fellas. He used to talk to them, and they'd all sit there laughing at him, wagging their tails. Now, a good show from you tonight, fellas. And when he got them on the stage, he used to sit them facing upstage with their backs to the audience and talk to them. And he'd go to one, and he'd say, well, ladies and gentlemen, now, I'm going to do one of my big tricks now. And he'd say to the end dog, now, sit up. Sit up. And as he said it, one at the other end got up, you know. And he used to do about 10 minutes of this. The dogs did nothing. And eventually he appealed to the audience. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I'd be very obliged if you will help me in my last trick because this is really sensational. Will you all stand up? Now, it took him a couple of minutes to get all the audience. They put their handbags down, their overcoats. They all stood up. And he just looked at them for a minute and he'd say, sit down, you work better than the dogs.
Thank you very much, Eleanor Summerfield. Yes. Thank you very much, Eleanor. And our team, Mr. David Percival, puts a question to you. Mr. Percival, welcome to the programme. What's the question?
The British tradition of crumpets for tea seems to have died out. Does the team regret this? And are there any other delicacies they enjoy at tea time?
The British tradition for crumpets for tea seems to have died out. Does the team regret this, and are there any other delicacies they enjoy?
Regret it? We can't even remember it.
Oh, I...
Crumpets for tea? You're joking.
Yeah. I think I can speak for the whole team. We all enjoy crumpets for tea.
I'd like to say that there must be something wrong these days with our digestions, because I can't digest actual crumpets. I don't know what they're made of. It's a kind of wadge of dough with holes punched in it.
That's right. Well, that's good. That's a very good description.
I don't know why it is that it's gone out of fashion, because they're indigestible. Yeah, and we're also all on the slimming fad, and they are desperately...
We are not on the slimming fad.
There's only one good thing to be said about crumpets for tea. If you eat enough of them, they soak up the gin that's to follow.
But they've always been popular. I mean, I was at church this morning, and as we came out, the organist played the crumpet voluntary. Mind you, I don't think people nowadays, I don't think they go in for tea as much now. They do up north. We still have high tea up north. You know, you have tongue or... I can't eat tongue. I can't eat anything that comes... Can't eat anything that comes from a beast's mouth.
Why, Arthur?
I always have an egg.
Team, I think that might be the appropriate moment to bring in Mr. Percival. Mr. Percival, do you eat crumpets, or have you ever eaten?
She makes them.
Well, he looks like he's eating crumpets.
Well, let's find out from Mr. Percival.
He looks rather like a crumpet, actually.
Mr. Percival.
He's the toast of the town, actually, isn't he?
Now, Mr. Percival.
Well, actually, I've had many a crumpet for tea. And I did want to mention that... You know, I was at school with Jimmy Edwards at one time.
You don't look so old.
No, I agree. And, one of the interesting memories of Jimmy at school was that he played first trumpet in the... trumpet in the King's College School Orchestra from 1935 to 38.
That's right.
Really?
And did he have crumpet up his trumpet?
Well, I was rather religious in those days. Oh. I didn't know.
He was stuffing up his muffin.
I don't know why. It's very kind of you to bring this rather nauseating memory up.
I know, that's rather nice.
Well, I know. I don't remember I remember Mr. Percival now, actually, but I don't think in those days he was a crumpet merchant, actually.
You're dead right.
You were the same when we had Disraeli on the programme.
because of the indigestion question, you do pay for crumpets twice, don't you? When you get them and when they get you.
Well, we never had crumpets much when I was a kid. We used to have windmill cake. What's windmill cake? You get some if it goes round.
Thank you very much, team. Mr. Percival. And now you're going to hear a question from Mrs. Stella Bridgeland. Mrs. Bridgeland, what's your question, please?
If the members of the team suddenly lost all their money and were no longer in demand as entertainers, what job would they do?
Or could they do?
If
the members of the team suddenly lost all their money and were no longer in demand as entertainers, what job could they do?
Find answers to sadistic questions like this.
Well, I must say this situation has happened to me. This is true, Ted. This situation happened to me a few years ago. Things were not going right for me, and I was really reduced to selling matches in the street. I was in the gutter there with me. With my little tray, and Bernard Delphon came along, and he didn't recognise me. He said, "I'll have a box of matches." And I said, "I'm match obliged." And he said, "That's brilliant," and I was topping the bill at the Palladium again next week. I never play the...
Didn't he leave...
Stuffport Hippodrome again?
Jimmy Edwards.
First of all, I'd like to just make the comment to Mrs. Bridgeland. It's a very unfeeling question.
You've got the name
because,
right.
I can never forget her for this question. If the moment comes when the lady suggests we're thrown onto the refuse heap, as long as I haven't got an enfeebled embouchure... I'll always be able to press something to my lips and get something out of it, madam. It might be you, I don't know. You'll be on the heap with me, madam.
Or it might be somebody's petrol tank, the way it's going on.
Arthur Askey.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Well, I'd like the lads to join in on this. If I lost my job as an entertainer, I'd like to be a shop walker. Then I could say to a customer, walk this way, and the customer would say, if I could walk that way...
I wouldn't want the talcum powder.
Well, boy, that's it.
Cyril Fletcher.
Well, I could very well be a married couple, I think. I bet you could do the cooking, and I could advertise myself as a chauffeur handyman who can iron.
Jim, with all his experience of flying, and this is often neglected on this show, people don't realise that through the war, when Arthur and I and Cyril were loafing in Ensa, you know, we're loafing around in Ensa, Jimmy, you were a pilot. Couldn't you apply this?
That's right. And now he works on the farm and he piles it here and piles it there.
Jim, when were you in the Air Force?
I was in the Air Force when Pontius was a pilot.
Well, there are all sorts of jobs. As you know, I've got a pal who was in our business. He had to give it up and he's got a wonderful job now. He's a commercial traveller in Ireland. He sells donuts to leprechauns for toilet seats.
Thank you very much, team. Thank you very much indeed. And there, I'm afraid, we must close Does the Team Think for today. On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and, of course, to our special guest, Eleanor Summerfield. And if you'd like to ask the team a question, let's hear from you. And we hope you'll all join us again next week. Till then, this is MacDonald Hobie saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.